A listener note, this story contains adult content and language.
Danny Ray Johnson's church, Heart of Fire, is no ordinary church. Guns are common and openly displayed. The marquee out front says bikers are welcome. There's no dress code. It appears to be non-denominational, and its evangelical mission is to convert people who don't go to church to Christianity. Sometimes Johnson preaches in a cutoff shirt, showing his tattooed arms. He's given sermons about having sex with his wife on their honeymoon. He's told stories from the pulpit about driving trucks through mud holes and hanging out with Kentucky's Republican governor, Matt Bevin. The sermons seem unscripted. They can go on for an hour or more, mixing Bible verses with philosophy. He leaves the pulpit to walk around the room while he talks. Sometimes he sounds conversational. Other times he waves his arms and shouts and seems to be on the verge of tears. Some afternoons, the church's on-site bar opens up. Sometimes it turns into a tattoo parlor.
The guy is totally just a manipulator.
I've noticed that sometimes he gets his facts messed up.
He was belligerent. He was really, really drunk.
He's right there where he can do the same thing again.
He was the strong suspect.
Everybody's talking about the seventh son in the whole wide world. There is only one. I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm the one.
This is The Pope's Long Con from the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting in Louisville Public Media. I'm Jake Ryan. We tried to interview Danny Ray Johnson himself for this series. We called him, we emailed him, we found him in person, but he wouldn't talk to us. In this chapter, we're going to talk about his home base. Here's R.G. Dunlop with a look inside the Heart of Fire Church.
This is a video of the Heart of Fire Church Gun Choir. It's one of the church's more unconventional elements.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
The video, featured on guns.com, shows Danny Ray Johnson in the church, clustered in front of a large cross with about a dozen other people. They're singing and holding rifles, pistols, and revolvers. One woman has a Bible. Johnson has on a black leather vest with an American flag. He's also wearing two crosses and a cap that says Pope. He has three large silver rings on his right hand, and in it, he's gripping what appears to be an assault rifle. The Guns.com article says if you're a tattooed, sunburned, gun-toting, leather-wearing biker, you might not be greeted warmly at a regular church, but you're definitely welcome at Heart of Fire. That come-as-you-are philosophy is appealing to a lot of the church's members, like Cliff Richmond, a biker who used to be a regular at Heart of Fire.
It was good stuff. I thought he was doing a really good thing. I thought that he was taking a lot of people that normally wouldn't go to church and getting them to church, which was an awesome thing. But I didn't realize how backwards he was.
Most professional religious leaders have some formal training. Johnson says he does too. In his official biography with the Kentucky State Legislature, Johnson says he has a Ph.D. in theology. He's testified under oath that he has a doctorate of divinity. But as we found out last chapter, you can't take anything Danny Ray Johnson says at face value, especially things he says about himself. So we called the school where he says he got his advanced theological training.
I found two files.
This is Susan Schneider. She works at Kingsway University and Theological Seminary in Des Moines, Iowa. She found Johnson's file and says he did take some classes there, but
there is no record of him receiving an honorary or an earned doctorate degree from us here.
We do know that Johnson did ministry in Louisiana and Louisville for a few years. Then he took his show on the road. Johnson says on his church's website that he spent the late 1980s and early 1990s working in California. He also went on mission trips to South America. That's where he says he healed the sick and even raised the dead. As evidence of these miracles, he cites a letter written in June 1991 by Dr. David Fisher, pastor of Living Waters Church in Pasadena, California. It opens with, "Dear Pastor," but doesn't name anyone specific. It reads kind of like a generic resume booster. The letter says that during a trip to Venezuela, Johnson placed his fingers in the ears of a man who had been deaf since birth. The man was instantly healed. It also describes another miraculous event, this time in Colombia. Fisher says Johnson approached a dead woman with a crowd of 7,000 people watching. The letter describes the woman's skin as lifeless and says it looked like rubber with a darkness under it. She was slumped over in a chair. Danny Ray Johnson lifted her out of it. We'll read you the next part of the letter word for word. Quote, "He spoke to death and commanded it to leave. Then Danny spoke life to her and she took a breath and another breath. She was raised from the dead." Dr. David Fisher, the pastor who wrote the letter, refused to be interviewed on tape. He said in an email that he did not personally witness any of the events his letter describes. Fisher said he got the story from other pastors who told him about it later. He won't say for sure that Danny Ray Johnson raised a woman from the dead in front of thousands of people, but he says it may have happened. The Heart of Fire Church isn't in its original building. The first location was a few hundred yards away from where it is now. The original building burned to the ground on June 12, 2000. Neighbors said the fire lit up the whole sky that night. Investigators said the fire was almost certainly arson. Police found a rear door of the church unlocked. A flammable liquid had been poured down a hallway and intentionally set on fire. Johnson was a suspect. A man who was driving by the church around the time of the fire told investigators he saw a white late-model Cadillac pulling out from behind the church with no lights on. He said the driver was a white male, possibly blonde, and that he drove away fast. Johnson has blonde hair, and at the time of the fire, he and his wife had two cars. One was a white 1995 Cadillac.
They may have had an idea who said it.
That's Henry Ott, a longtime arson investigator for Louisville's fire department, now retired.
But there's a big jump between having an idea who set the fire, indicting them, and convicting them.
Ott didn't investigate this case, but he later reviewed the file, and he's seen a lot of fires. This one completely destroyed the church. Johnson denied responsibility for the fire. Instead, he blamed the Ku Klux Klan, which might seem ironic in light of his own racist Facebook posts comparing the Obamas to apes. If this arson storyline sounds familiar, that's because in the last chapter, we told you about Johnson's plot to torch his car for the insurance money. Both times, Johnson was struggling with financial problems. When the first Heart of Fire burned down, the church was basically bankrupt. Records show it owed much more on outstanding loans than it could ever pay, more than the property was worth, or at least more than it would sell for. The church's insurance company filed a lawsuit. Court records show dozens of bounced checks and credit card debts in bank accounts tied to the church, to Johnson, and to his wife, Rebecca. Johnson gave a sworn statement where he admitted to financial problems. Other statements in the same lawsuit raise additional questions about Dan Johnson's handling of church finances. Jennifer Charles, a former church member and employee, told police Johnson often bragged about beating the system and about having a good attorney. And Michelle Cook, who was Johnson's secretary and also a church member, told police that there was ongoing misappropriation of funds at the church. Cook said Johnson would take insurance company checks, cut a better deal with contractors, and keep the difference for himself. Cook also said she suspected Johnson when she first heard about the fire. She wondered if he did it for the insurance money, or maybe it was something else. She didn't say what the something else might have been. The lawsuit was settled, and no one was ever charged with burning the church. Today, the site where the church originally stood is an overgrown vacant lot. It's littered with roadside debris and crumbling concrete. It's just a few hundred yards away from the new church, where you can find Danny Ray Johnson most Sundays, preaching and pushing his own agendas.
It's never been like this to me before.
Some blatantly political.
But all of a sudden, I see a flag flying, tears rolling on my face. Because we're so close to losing this freedom.
3 months before the 2016 presidential election, Danny Ray Johnson was in tears, clutching a microphone.
We are one vote away from a president of either winning this country back or losing it. You better know that. Donald Trump, we need you.
This rally drew hundreds of people to the Heart of Fire Church. Local politicians, church members, and others. It was a boisterous crowd. But there's a problem with Johnson singing Trump's praises in front of and inside the church. Here's Fran Hill, professor at the University of Miami Law School and a tax attorney.
The pastor of the church is expressly advocating the election of one candidate for public office, in this case the presidency of the United States, and this is inconsistent with status as a 501c3 tax-exempt organization that's a church.
Basically, if you run a tax-exempt church, you can't support or oppose a particular political candidate. It's against the law. And if you do, in theory, your church could lose its tax-exempt status. But experts we talked to said the IRS doesn't really have the political flexibility or the resources to enforce the law. In fact, Congress has imposed special limitations on the IRS's ability to investigate possible violations by churches.
Some churches have thought that they should be able to become involved in elections. Some churches are saying this is our own internal business. But, of course, churches widely now are on the Internet, they're on YouTube, they're on other social media. And so the question is, what is private about a church service?
President Trump and Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin want to eliminate the law altogether. But for now, just to be clear, a nonprofit church can't legally support or oppose a political candidate. For Johnson, breaking this law wasn't just a one-time thing. We talked to people who've attended Sunday services at Heart of Fire who said Johnson regularly pushed Trump from the pulpit.
If you were not on the Trump train, you were going to get run over by it. And that's another thing that I thought wasn't quite right. It didn't sit right with me that when I'm going to church, I didn't expect to feel alienated because of any political affiliations.
That's Jennifer Stepp. You heard from her in the first chapter. She's the one who was kicked off the ballot last year before Johnson was chosen to run for the 49th House District seat. Stepp and her daughter used to worship at Heart of Fire Church. She says there's a lot more to the church than Sunday services, like weekend parties.
I was like, oh, wow. I've never seen this at a church before, so it was very different. Sometimes they were getting tattoos there. There I've seen people that would flash the Pope.
What do you mean?
Expose their breast. Like they'd say, instead of saying it's your birthday, it'd be like it's your boob day, you know. So I can't say I've ever seen him grope a boob, but maybe a butt.
The parties happen in an adjacent fellowship hall called the Pope's House. We went by to check it out. We pulled into the parking lot on a summer Saturday afternoon. The Johnsons were hosting a memorial ride and fundraiser for the family of a local man who'd recently died in a motorcycle crash.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
The Pope's house is a log building with neon signs, beer ads on the door, designated parking for motorcycles. It's just across a driveway from the more traditional worship hall, but it appears to draw much larger crowds. Inside, the walls are lined with motorcycle memorabilia, beer posters, and Confederate flags. There's a clawfoot bathtub full of ice and canned beer, a shelf full of Trump hats and stickers.
How you doing?
Ah, good.
How do you get a beer?
Ticket's over there.
You get a ticket over there first? You buy a ticket, and then we just give it to you? How much is a beer?
$2.
$2? $2.
$2.
Danny Ray Johnson is on a stage across the room, auctioning off a gift card for a local tattoo shop. We lean against the bar, talking to Charlie, the bartender.
We have a magnificent minister. His name is Bishop Dan Johnson. His nickname is the Pope.
Before long, the Pope's wife, Rebecca Johnson, walks over. She says the church is doing good work, and she thinks we're there to criticize it.
We already know. We already know. We know what you're going to do. And you know what? You're going to have blood on your hands if you do that. I'm just telling you right now, it's the word of the Lord. Okay. You're going to hurt innocent people because you want to smear my husband, and it really upsets me.
Then she points us to the door, and we leave. Our reporting trip confirmed a lot of what we'd already heard about the Pope's house. It's a biker bar, and it sells alcohol illegally, without a license. Law enforcement saw this, too, on multiple occasions. In fact, state and local alcoholic beverage control officers cited Johnson and the church three times between 2008 and 2015 for unlicensed alcohol sales. In one case, ABC agents saw Johnson and others taking cases of beer from behind the bar and trying to hide them in the back room. Bar patrons said they'd been told to say they'd brought their own alcohol, that they didn't buy it there. When the case went to trial, Johnson testified before Jefferson District Judge Sheila Collins wearing a priest's collar and a cross around his neck. He offered a surprising defense. He said the alcohol being served at the church was actually communion, so he didn't need a license to provide it. Collins was not impressed. The three criminal cases didn't come to much, just minor penalties or dismissals. The ABC knows illegal alcohol sales are common at the church, but they haven't been back to inspect Heart of Fire since February 2015. And even when they used to check in more frequently, there was something else they totally missed: underage kids drinking alcohol. Several people we interviewed said that was commonplace. Danielle Elmore was once a regular at the church and at the bar.
There's times that it was got crazy. I mean, it is considered a biker church.
She remembers a time when the cops came in.
I mean, we was all under the age of 21.
Right.
One of the neighbors called the cops, and we passed the alcohol off to the, you know, the adults.
Elmore also remembers that sometimes the Pope would get too personal for comfort.
I mean, he always gave everybody hugs and would kiss them, like on the cheek, or some of the ones that was like 18 or older, he would kiss on the lips. It grossed me out because I don't even kiss my grandparents like that, or my mom, or my son. I taught you to kiss on the cheek if you do kiss anybody.
Eventually, the free flow of alcohol and the unchecked behavior allegedly led to something much more serious, a sexual assault in the church.
I just never expected this. It kind of flipped my whole world upside down as it's happening. I was just really confused.
In the next chapter, we'll tell you the story of a teenage girl's traumatic encounter with Johnson and her frustrating search for justice.
The Pope's Long Con was reported and written by R.G. Dunlap and Jake Ryan. Our producer is Laura Ellis. Our editors are Brendan McCarthy, Erica Peterson, and Stephen George. Music by Kevin Ratterman. You can read this story with lots of extras at kycir.org.